Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Wole, part of Empire Media. What's going on, fellas?
Better late than never, I guess.
I know, right?
Hanging out there for a little bit, you know.
Technical difficulties, bro. Yeah, I know. Technical difficulties. So, my apologies.
Wole, is it Apple? Is Apple the problem, or is it Verizon?
Bro, I need to know, man. Real talk. I need to get a new phone. This thing outdated, man. Just I can't operate multiple apps on this joint. Sometimes I'm trying to repost certain things, and all of a sudden,
What model are you using?
That's a good question. I think I'm at this, I want to say 7, 7S or so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you need to, definitely.
Yeah, man, it just don't, for this particular application that I use to repost stuff or try to schedule, it starts to freeze up. It don't mesh well with this, with our line. It doesn't mesh very well with it, put it that way.
It's all good. You here now, brother. Let's do this.
I know, right? You know what I'm saying? Hey, Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Keim Report, hosted by ESPN Washington football team insider John Keim, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
This show can also be found on Podcast DC, the new local app with hundreds of options of local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as other great content. Of course, don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Team. And also, you can tweet me directly at Urban Sports Team and hit us up on our Urban Sports Team Facebook page. And lastly, join our Urban Sports Team Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Team, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
Will T.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington football team's first preseason game against the New England Patriots. Seawall Sports and Entertainment's Candy Waller will be on to discuss this with us at 8:25. We'll talk about the Washington Wizards acquiring guard Spencer Dinwiddie. At 8:40, we'll talk about the winners and losers of the NBA offseason. Finally, we'll talk about the NBA Summer League. But first, right now, we have Seawall Sports and Entertainment's Candy Waller on the line. What's going on, Candy?
Hey, everybody. Good evening. I'm here.
I'm glad you are here. I'm sorry I had you waiting, Candy. I apologize for that. Candy.
Oh, it is all good.
All right. Hey, Candy, you were at the fan-friendly practice last Friday at FedEx Field. How was it, and who showed out?
So, yes, last Friday at the Friday Night Football event at FedEx Field, let me just tell y'all, it was a real vibe.
Mm-hmm.
It was super chill. Like, you could just feel the energy. And one of the things that I really enjoyed, of course, the fans, while there weren't, you know, many there, of course, because of still there's restrictions, there was enough there to feel the excitement and just the overall just energy around this team. And the players seemed to be just as happy to see the fans as the fans were to see them. Like, for real. It was dope. I really enjoyed it. In terms of who showed out, let me just go ahead and tell y'all. Terry McLaurin looks like he's playing at, like, week 10, week 11 levels. Mm-hmm. Like, this is Terry here. This is Terry here. I really, really feel strongly about that. Another name that you all may have been hearing coming out of camp, Dyami Brown.
Mm-hmm.
One of the draftees from this year. Looking really good, mm-hmm. really solid. So I enjoy checking him out. Of course, you have your defensive line. This defensive line is starting exactly where they left off last year. still, I think, could be one of the top in the league for certain. So I'm excited to see what else they're going to do this year, working together. And you know, I'm still a little like, who else would be like the tight end number two after Logan Thomas? But Logan Thomas still looks, you know, to be starting where he left off last season as well.
All right, Candy, this is Will. Why should fans be excited about a week one preseason game? And what should they expect?
Great question, Will. I really think that fans should be getting excited because Ron Rivera and his coaching staff really are looking at the little things. Which one of these players, I mean, these guys are bringing the energy this year. It's almost like every roster spot is up for grabs. So we know that there's players like, let's take Steven Sims Jr., for example, or even Cam Sims, you know, from the wide receiver position, who they're fighting for a roster spot right now. Other names that we're just now hearing, like a DeAndre Carter, from a kick return, punt return perspective. Remember, that was Steven Sims' job last year. Looking like he may not have that role anymore if he has to compete with Danny Johnson or DeAndre Carter for those roles. So I think fans should really be excited because Ron Rivera is absolutely using this as an opportunity to evaluate the talent and see how these guys react in live game action. So I think it's going to be one that everyone should be paying attention to.
Oh, Candy, I can hear the excitement in your voice. You know what I'm saying?
I'm ready. I'm about the fans. Can't wait for Thursday.
I know that's right. So a lot of talk about Jamin Davis, of course, the rookie defensive linebacker. And then you got Matt Ioannidis returning. I see that on social media as a trend. Like, the fans are excited about what this defense is going to look like. But in particular, which player are you looking to show off this coming Thursday?
You know, I definitely, you said one, Jamin Davis for certain, but I have my eye on, you all might be shocked to hear this, but I have my eye on Sam Cosmi, the offensive tackle, the rookie. Everyone has so many questions around the offensive line. And I've just been so impressed by what's coming out of camp regarding how Cosmi is holding his own against Montez Sweat and Chase Young. Now, if he can hold his own against Montez Sweat and Chase Young, we might have something special right here in this kid. So my eyes are going to absolutely be on Sam Cosmi. I'm also going to be, again, checking out the wide receiver. That position group, I am now super intrigued by what comes out of this position competition for certain. So I'll have my eyes on that group as well.
All right, I'm going to stop for station identification. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Radio. That's part of Empire Media, empiremedia.com. We are chatting with Candy Waller from Seawall Sports and Entertainment. Candy, I have one question for you. Mm-hmm. All right, there was a lot of criticism for Scott Turner last year as the offensive coordinator. We know that offensive coordinators, their game plan is typically very bland going into the season. What should fans have a high expectation, or what should fans look for from Scott Turner as an offensive coordinator going as he progresses into year two?
No, that's a great question. I think that we should be looking for Scott Turner to play to the quarterback strength. Now, I know there's some folks that are a little anxious about Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? It's like, yeah. Ron Fitzpatrick doesn't mind throwing the football downfield, but he also might give you 6 interceptions a game. So I think, but what I do think is just the camaraderie and what's being built, because you do have a quarterback in both Ron Fitzpatrick and Taylor Heineke that are not afraid to get the ball down the field. I think we'll see more deep throws. I do. We have some wide receivers that are fast, who can go up, jump up, and go get it. So I think that fans should absolutely be expecting to see that. I also think that Scott Turner is going to use that run game. Last year, we weren't real sure who had it running back. We weren't sure how Antonio Gibson's year was going to go. Remember a lot of fans last year, you know, toward the end of training camp were just floored that Adrian Peterson was let go. So I think you're going to see, I think we have some players who can fill those gaps of just being able to do the little things right, kind of like what I mentioned earlier, and that's what Coach Ron Rivera said in his press conference today, that if you do the little things right, it could go a long way. So I think we'll see some of those. While that may not sound like huge changes, it will make a big difference on game day.
Y'all done or something?
We have, I mean,
I'm about to say what? What's happening?
No, I'm sorry. I need to jump in. I need to jump in here because I know we're talking about the first preseason game, and we don't expect to see the first units long. But Candy, give us something, I guess, specific that we can expect. You know, a couple drives from the offense and defense. What do you think?
I'm thinking they'll probably play at least a solid quarter for certain. I mean, Ron Rivera might have them out there at least the whole first half. Also be looking for a lot of moving around. Like, for example, today with the tight ends, you saw John Bates, Ricky Fields-Jones, and Sammy Reyes, all of them were getting time with the first team offense. It's been a lot of just kind of, I call it musical chairs, if you will, of just putting players in different, you know, at different times with different reps with the first team, going with the second team and doing all of that. You'll see a lot of just moving around. That, honestly, we probably shouldn't read too much into it. Right? Probably shouldn't read too much into it if you start seeing that, other than knowing that Ron Rivera and his coaching staff are giving all these guys a fair shake and a fair look to see how they perform in live game action. I definitely think that while the game plan will be limited, I do think, you know, guys who are, you know, not getting these plays right on point, they're not running their correct routes, if we're seeing any drops, that's probably not good. You're seeing any missed tackles, probably not good for them, because those are some of the little things that they have to do right in order to be effective.
So, okay, Kansa, who would you say needs a good showing? I know it's the first preseason game, but who needs this the most?
I'm going back to the wide receivers. I think Steven Sims Jr. absolutely has to have a good showing. Cam Sims as well. We know, again, Steven Sims Jr. did not have the year that everyone thought he was going to have 2020. He had a solid 2019 season. In 2020, not so much. So he is definitely a player that is fighting for a roster spot. Cam Sims is also a player that we typically will see. Cam, he'll get cut, right? And then they'll bring him back to the waiver wire on the practice squad, and then he'll find himself back on the active roster due to injuries and everything. Along with those two names, I'm also going to mention Kelvin Harmon. Kelvin Harmon got injured last year, if you all recall, in minicamp or just before minicamp. So a lot of big things expected for him last year that didn't happen because of his injury. So he has an opportunity this year. Now, see, last Friday, he was out of practice because he was dealing with some leg issues, but he's since been practicing. But that wide receiver position group, there is deep, but they definitely want to still prove their worth. There's also some talk, too, about where John Bostic, from a linebacker perspective, where he sits, he's having a really impressive camp, and I think we should keep our eyes on that linebacker position as well on Thursday.
So what about AGG? How is he looking?
You know, AGG, that's right. That's another one. Again, going back to how deep this wide receiver position group is, you know, again, that was a player, you all know, last year, a lot of big things expected, but that's not, you know, how it materialized due to his lingering injuries. So he's going to be another one that has to show up and has a strong first preseason game and second preseason game. But I think Ron Rivera and his staff are going to be looking at this with very keen and focused, laser focused eyes. And none of the players should feel like oh, I just got this in the bag, especially those that we named. I have high hopes for AGD. I really do. But I want to say, going back to Diami Brown, a lot of talk about this kid, even from the perspective of saying, you know, this kid has the potential to be, you know, the wide receiver too. And that's like, whoa, really? Wow. Right? So we'll see.
All right, Candy, before we get you out of here, I got one question for you. I know a lot of people are excited about this being preseason, week one, NFL football is coming back, but I'm excited for another reason. It's DC Restaurant Week. Candy, which restaurants are you checking out this week?
Wow.
DC Restaurant Week. Is DC Restaurant Week?
Yeah.
Oh, man, this dude crazy, yo.
Hold on. If that's the case, first of all, I appreciate you telling me.
See, there you go. Y'all think that's a dumb question.
I ain't say it was a dumb question. I just said what.
Right. Listen, if it's DC Restaurant Week, I'm going to give you two off the top. I need to go see Joe's Prime Seafood. I need to go down to Joe's because that's my spot. And Carmine's, the Italian restaurant on 7th Street. I love Carmine's. And I've not been there since before the pandemic.
All right. So that's going. I'm going to add those to my list.
What you're doing? That's what you're doing, Will? You hitting that? You doing DC restaurant week? That's the.
Listen, this is a rite of passage for everyone that grew up in this area.
I know, right?
And I'm gonna say how people from this area who grew up here, this area. Everyone knows about DC Restaurant Week, man. It's something you should experience.
Yeah. I haven't done it in years, man.
Definitely. That was a great question. I wasn't expecting it, but I'm like, oh, wait. It's Restaurant Week? Or you just told me something?
Absolutely.
Look, Will is here to educate and help out. You know what I mean? That's Will, man. All in a nutshell, man. You know what I'm saying? He looks out, though, man. He really does. Hey, Katie, before we let you go, how can folks catch you, catch your own show, and how can they hit you up on social media?
Absolutely. So you all can catch my weekly show, Culture from the Couch, on the Seawall Sports and Entertainment Facebook page every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. This Thursday, because of the preseason game, we're actually going to do the show at 7. So if you need some pregame football talk, and just catch up on DC Sports, join us on the Seawall Sports and Entertainment Facebook page Thursday at 7. Also, during the training camp time, we're doing training camp updates. So every 2 or 3 days, we do another training camp update to just share everything that's coming out of training camp, what we're hearing, what we're seeing. So that's always dope. And, you know, to check in, always have some of our media colleagues join the show as well. So that's always good to give a live look into what's going on with the Washington football team. I can also be found on Twitter at SeawallSE and on Instagram at SeawallSports.
Candy, thanks for being on. You know, we appreciate you. We'll probably have you on, you know, during the season.
Absolutely. You all know I would love to do it. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. No problem. Thanks again. Appreciate you.
All right.
You already know.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Again, that was Candy Waller from Seawall Sports and Entertainment. Follow her on Twitter at SeawallSE. Again, that's at SeawallSE.
Yeah, Candy's dope. Another show you can catch Candy on is the Triple W Pod. They cover the Washington Wizards. And that's what we're talking about next, baby. We signed Spencer Dinwiddie. We're going to talk about that signing after the break.
Listen to the Urban Sports thing for ages. You dig, deuces.
Yeah, yeah, hold up. KD2. Hey, hold up, come on, whoa. Right back at this. Right back, hold up, whoa. High on life, drunk off dark liquor. Getting eerie, like I threw on Thriller. I'm a hard hitter, Rolex clocks and killers holding the order. I'm praying God delivers. I had runners with Shug. Would have been shook at the height of the beef. They started Death Row East. Damn, I even saw they tease on some of my G's. Notorious label, the story was made in the streets. Now it's real life movies. Rest in peace, ill will. Let's talk about it. We the smart. smartest, not the loudest. Came about the project houses where they resort to violence. Hennessy bottles on the curb, little trying to serve. Let's talk about it. Back when Jungle Toe pockets off.
You're listening to the T, Wole, and Ray Jeezy. We are part of Ampire Media, and you can check us out at AmpireMedia.com.
All right, fellas, the Wizards acquired guard Spencer Dinwiddie on a three-year deal for $62 million as part of a five-team trade between the Wizards, Nets, Spurs, Pacers, and Lakers. Question for you. Is Dinwiddie a good fit in the backcourt beside Bradley Beal?
Woohoo, man. I tell you, this is the question that on social media has been circulating because some of Spencer Dinwiddie's first comments was in reference to the guards that he's coming after. Of course, Gilbert Arenas, who I think would have had his jersey retired had it not been for the gun incident. Y'all can debate that later. Of course, John Wall, and most recently, Russell Westbrook. Out of those three guys, Spencer Dinwiddie is somewhere around three or four. Some may debate that, you know, right now, currently with Wall and the injuries, Spencer Dinwiddie might be a better option. But if we're being real, Spencer Dinwiddie is probably, he's probably fourth on that list. So I'm thinking that he'll be a perfect complement because he's not a score-first guy. And I also feel as though he's more of a team player than the three guys I just mentioned. Russell Westbrook got guys involved, definitely. But Russ also took a lot of ill-advised shots. Spencer Dinwiddie plays within a team concept. I'm interested to see how the new coach coming in, Wes Unseld Jr., uses him because we know that Brad is the primary offensive option. But with all these shooters now around you, I'm talking about Kispert, Kyle Kuzma, KCP, dude, and Bertans, if he find a shot again, he could average a double-double easily. 10-10 should be nothing for Spencer Dinwiddie, but he's also coming off injury.
Well, hey, you want to talk?
I think he's, I mean, I agree with Ray with a lot of things he said in terms of him playing within the team concept. I do think that Dinwiddie's that type of dude. My only question would be, is Dinwiddie really, I look at him as a two-guard playing the one. I've never really looked at him as a real one. I thought that by necessity with Brooklyn, he played the one. But I never really looked at him as a real one, like a guy who really orchestrates anything. He's a scorer to me. I think he can score. But I'm with Ray. He's a scorer within the confines of not forcing the shot. Like, he can get his buckets within the team concept or within the team plan. So I agree with Ray with that. My only question would be, is he really like that floor general, you know, playing the point guard position?
I guess for me, the one question that I have isn't necessarily regard to play. It's health, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spencer Dinwiddie, he played one game, I believe, last year for the Brooklyn Nets, and then he was injured. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, from a health perspective, you know, has he fully rehabbed from his injuries, and also from a stylistic and a fit perspective, like how him and Bradley Beal are going to play in the same backcourt, because one thing that we've seen over the past couple of years is that Bradley Beal has become a very good playmaker mm-hmm. for himself and others off the dribble. So, you know, will Spencer Dinwiddie be able to play off the ball with Bradley Beal? You know,
mm-hmm.
he didn't get a chance to play that whole, you know, I think that whole game last year with Kyrie Irving. So how mm-hmm. will he play off the ball with a ball dominant guard like Bradley Beal?
I do think he can play off ball. I mean, off ball. I think he can. To me, he's a guy initially is a scorer, you know, and he can shoot, you know, he can spot up and shoot. I think he can play off ball. I'm just not sure with the Wizards. I guess in the grand scheme of things, it is a good fit because nowadays Bradley Beal is a ball dominant guard, right? So we could say now he's a ball dominant guard. So yeah, I guess it would be a decent fit because again, Spencer Dinwiddie, to Ray's point, doesn't really have an ego. There's no real ego, and he came into this league kind of hungry. No one really thought he was going to survive in the league. And then he came in here, worked on his game, hardworking dude. And he got to a point where, you know, he's a guy who can score 17 to 20 points a game. So, yeah, I think, you know, now I think about it, he probably would be a good fit with Bradley Beal.
Here's what we're missing, guys. What is he going to bring to the table defensively? What I'm excited about is I know Neto is still on the team, and I wasn't happy about that. But Ish, we had Ish, or the Wizards, excuse me, had Ish and Neto playing a lot of minutes last season, and they just were undersized on the defensive end. Nothing against those guys, but they got bullied often. Mm-hmm. I think Spencer Dinwiddie, that's going to be one of the biggest attributes he brings to the team is his size, man, because on the defensive end, him and Bradley Beal make a pretty solid backcourt. And, dude, what was the Wizards, like, Achilles heel last year? It was defense. Mm-hmm. So if he can help defensively,
well, yeah,
help improve this team along with Trez and KCP, then right away you know that he is an upgrade, mm-hmm, because defensively as a unit, they struggled so bad last season. And again, I think it was in large part due to the fact that they were undersized at the guard position, you know, outside of Russ.
On Facebook, Solomon Tacky posted about this particular topic about is Dinwiddie a good fit with Bradley Beal. He said that to be determined, he's coming off an ACL injury. I think one of you all already mentioned that, right?
Yeah, I mentioned it.
Yeah, so I mean, to me nowadays in the NBA, coming back from an ACL, especially if you're not like, you know, jumping out the gym, coming back from an ACL injury isn't the worst thing in the world. An Achilles, I think, is a little bit different. So I still think he can play basketball at a high level. It's just pretty much knocking off the rust and getting acclimated and playing it in an NBA game. But to me, the thing about for the Wizards and Dinwiddie and Bradley Beal as a backcourt is the coach. It's just to see how what's going to be the game plan, what's going to be the strategy. You know, are they going to run a lot of ISO, a lot of high screen from the top of the key and going ISO that way, or will there be a lot of ball movement? So it just depends on how they're going to play it. But I do think, you know, depending on, you know, if you're going to like run more ISO plays and whatnot, I think Dinwiddie can definitely play well in that type of offense. Because again, when you saw the backcourt of with the Nets, when he was playing with LeVert, both of those dudes, you know, were basically ball dominant individuals going ISO anyway, and it worked out for him. So it is, I mean, depending on what they want to do, it can work out.
It can. One thing that I think the variable that we none of us really know is, yeah, like, what style of play.
Exactly.
Wes Unseld Jr. is looking to implement for this team coming into this year. Right, there's been a overhaul of the roster. You have a new head coach, you know, new coaching staff coming in. You know, what will he look to emphasize, you know, on the defensive and the offensive end from this team? It'll be interesting to see how this team gels together, you know, when the season starts.
So if everything goes right, say, you know, Dinwiddie plays at a decent high level, a Dinwiddie level, what's the ceiling for this team?
I think around a fifth seed.
Fifth seed. Mm-hmm, okay. Where would you think?
Okay. I struggle with this, right? For the simple fact that there are a lot of new players on this team who haven't played together,
mm-hmm,
right? You don't know how, you know, KCP and Kuzma, if they're still on the roster, you know, at the beginning of the season, how those guys would play with Bradley Beal and Spencer Dinwiddie. We don't know how Gafford, you know, him come, you know, Gafford taking, I guess, a more, more of a, being a starter this year, you know, how that, will that affect his play? You know, it's a lot of variables, but if I had to put a number on it, I think highest is probably 7th seed. Just realistically, looking at the East, you have Atlanta, Milwaukee,
mm-hmm,
Philadelphia, New York. I think Charlotte's going to be a very improved team.
Yeah.
And Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's six teams right there who I think are just better based off of their roster coming into the season than the Wizards are.
Pacers have a good roster too, but I don't know if they can bring it all together.
I didn't even mention the Pacers.
Yeah.
The Pacers, they have a good roster too.
The Bulls look better as well on paper.
Oh, everything. Yeah, it's on paper. It's all about how you coach it up, though. Because
right,
we don't. Again, it goes back to what Will was talking about the coaching. We don't. That's the variable that we don't know. Like,
don't know. Yeah,
say he comes in here and he coaches it up. The issue when we look at the Wizards is we're comparing it to a team that was coached by Scott Brooks. So we don't really know, per se, you know, how talented this team really is or isn't, to be honest with you, you know, because I think we all can agree that Scott Brooks didn't do the best job here in DC. So we can, you know, the unknown right now is what Wes Unseld Jr. does, and does he uplift the talent to play at a level that where we can say that, hey, maybe they are comparable to the Charlotte Hornets, maybe they are comparable to some of the teams that we'll mention.
Well, I like the Wizards' current roster better than I like Charlotte's. However, LaMelo Ball is expected to take another step this season.
Yeah.
And if he can do that, then I think he can emerge to be a bigger star and maybe even a better all-around player than Bradley Beal is. Of course, Brad is leading scorer in the NBA and has, you know, gotten better every year. But LaMelo Ball, his ceiling is, I mean, it's high, bro.
It is.
So it is. That right there says to me that Charlotte definitely has to be on your radar. No disagreements here. I just feel as though, you know, you factor in injuries. When you factor in, you brought in a defensive mind. I feel as though this Wizards team should, if you said everything goes well, I think they can finish around that top five. Now, Will T saying seventh, I don't have no problem with that. But both of us are saying that they can be a playoff team. That's the most important thing to me, whereas in the past it was questions whether the team could even finish in the top ten, you know?
Now, Will says he named a position. You think Gaffer starts over Bryant? Is that a given?
I think so. I mean, Bryant coming off of the injury, I think, and this is just, look, and I don't know, you know, they still haven't gone into training camp preseason, but if you look at kind of like where Gaffer left off last year and kind of, and, you know, how he played with, you know, Bradley Beal and, you know, some the success that they had during spurts on the floor together, I think, in my opinion, he would have the first. He would have the first opportunity at that starting center position.
I agree, bro. I'm with you. It's an unknown all too. Right. I'm with you, bro.
Speaking of unknown, when we get back from the break, we will discuss who are the winners and losers of the NBA offseason.
You listen, Cleveland, for ages.
You dig?
Those says on Amp Fire Media.
On Amp Fire Media.
All my time has been focused on my freedom now. Why would I join them when I know that I can beat them now? They put their words on me and they can eat them now. That's probably why they keep on telling me I'm needed now. They tried to box me out while taking what they want from me. I spent too many years living too uncomfortably, making room for people who didn't like the labor but wanted the spoils, greedy, selfish behavior. Now let me give it to you balanced and with clarity. I don't need to turn myself into a parody. I don't do the shit you do for popularity. They clearly didn't understand when I said I get out, apparently. My awareness like Keanu in the Matrix. I'm saving souls and y'all complaining about my lateness. Now it's illegal for someone to walk in greatness. They want the same, but they don't take risks. Now the world will get to see its own reflection, and the anointed can pursue their own direction. And if you're wrong and you're too proud to hear correction, walk into the hole you dug yourself, a projection. See me in my freedom, taking all my land back. They said a lot against me, thinking I just stand back. I got my legs beneath me, I got my hands back. A lot of people sabotaged, they couldn't stand that. I turned the other cheek, I took blow after blow. There's so much crisis in the world because you reap what you sow. When you keep what you know is meant for someone else, the ditch you dig for them, you might just end up in yourself. I'm in the secret place, I keep a sacred space. They keep showing their hands, but keep hiding their face. If I'm a messenger, you block me, then you block the message. So aggressive, the world you made is what you're left with. Pride and ego over love and truth is reckless. Y'all got a death wish, the stupid leaves me breathless.
Some place to be. Yeah.
Ain't ducking nothing. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Will T, and Ray Jeezy, parts of Ampire Media. That's AmpireMedia.com. There were several NBA signings and moves last week. Who are your offseason winners in the NBA offseason?
Okay, I'm going to get us started. I think the winners, this may sound weird with me saying it because I had such strong criticism for the hometown team in the past, but I think the Wizards are definitely one of the NBA offseason winners for the simple fact that you were able to get rid of not get rid of, but you were able to trade Russell Westbrook's contract. You know, the we were having this conversation last summer, you know, the trade for the swap for John Wall and Russell Westbrook. Although I didn't necessarily, I didn't think that was a great trade at the time. I think, you know, Washington definitely got, just based off of, you know, because of John Wall's injury, Washington got the better end of that deal. And then to be able to flip that Russell Westbrook's contract and essentially, change your roster that quickly in a matter of like 10 days. I think the Wizards, just from the aspect of being able to trade Russell Westbrook, they had a good offseason. And another team that I think had a that won, you know, even though a lot of people might not think, I think the Lakers won, right? For the simple fact that if we look at how the season ended for the Lakers, you know, with AD injured, LeBron, and, you know, the games that LeBron wasn't able to play during the regular season, one of the things that they were missing was kind of like that third guy who could take over on nights when those two guys are injured or are taking a night off. And Russell Westbrook is definitely a guy who the Lakers can look to show, you know, to carry load for that team for like 7 to 14 games when those two guys are injured or need a night off. Now, you know, when we get into the playoffs, how from a offensive perspective, how to, you know, the ball movement with Russell Westbrook being your point guard, and, you know, with the sport, with the floor space, that's a different issue. But I do think that the Lakers did win, you know, with the Russell Westbrook and also being able to bring in a guy like Carmelo Anthony to fill a need at this point in his career, you know, who's pretty much egoless and isn't a ball stopper as he's been in the past.
Ray, who you have?
You know Willie. I know. I agree with that. Go ahead, Willie. My bad.
No, I was gonna let you go, Ray. Yeah, who was your winners? No, I was gonna ask that. I was saying, you can go ahead.
Will T took one of my answers. I put that out there last week. Just, you know, in my stops on my media train. You know what I'm saying? Catch me underscore Ray. But Will T took the Lakers. I'm going to ask this serious question. How in the heck do the Hawks continue to get better? And how are they going to utilize all of this talent that they have? I think it's too many guys. You grab Jalen Johnson from Duke.
Oh,
and
God.
You bring in Sharif Cooper. Dude, you still got Bruno on the bench. You have Hunter coming back. Bro, they are.
They traded.
Did they trade Hunter?
Yeah, no, I thought that they traded Bruno to the Celtics.
Oh, did they?
Chris Dunn.
Did they?
Well,
oh, yeah, they did trade. Yeah, you're right. He's right. Chris Dunn. You're right. They did trade Chris Dunn.
Then I actually did not know that. So being real, but still, they got a deep squad. I feel like they did so well in the draft and bringing in two guys that can contribute right away and also play within the team concept. And another team I think that won, at least on paper, were the Chicago Bulls, bringing in two unselfish guys and Lonzo Ball and DeMar DeRozan to give Zach LaVine the help that he seemed to need last season in order to get this team into the top eight, because Zach LaVine gets better, just like Bradley Beal gets better. Zach LaVine arguably is right up there in that tier of players with Bradley Beal. So I'm excited to see what Chicago does with these two new additions. And I'm just hoping that Lonzo comes to play, because when he's playing his A game, well, we talked about this off air, man.
Yeah.
He is an all-around beast.
Yeah, he is, man. He plays smart basketball. That's what I call it. Yeah, the Lakers did well. You know, you name players. You already named some, a lot of players that I was going to mention, but I like low-key players like Nunn from Miami. A guy, they need a guy who can create. I like Monk. I think he's untapped talent. I think they need to get younger, too. You know, some young guys that they can kind of look at and say, you know what, you're playing with LeBron, you're playing with AD, you're playing with other vets. You can kind of be groomed into playing winning basketball, maybe and maybe be a guy for the future for this ball club. I like Miami. I like what Miami did, because they brought Miami guys, like guys who played their style of basketball. You know, I may not be a big Kyle Lowry fan, but when you talk about Eric Spoelstra and what he represents for that Miami team, it's about hard work and grit. That's Kyle Lowry, right? You're looking at they got, who else they signed? They signed the I'm thinking of another player. Who was they signing in the offseason? Not just Kyle Lowry. I'm thinking of another player. I'm sorry. Oh, it's a defensive player. I can't even think of him right now.
Who?
Miami.
The Heat?
The Heat. Other than Kyle Lowry, James somebody Jones. Else. Huh?
Was it James Jones?
No.
James Jones went to the net.
No, it's another player that fits.
Now they got PJ Tucker.
PJ Tucker, thank you, Ray. Sorry, PJ Tucker, another Miami guy, another guy with grit.
Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, another guy in PJ Tucker with grit who helped the Milwaukee Bucks win the championship. So to me, you know, thinking of just guys that fit the mold when we look at the Miami Heat and what they're about, they just got guys who just fit the way they play basketball. Also, I like what the Golden State Warriors did. You know what I mean? You got Andre Iguodala back. You're gonna get Klay back. In the offseason. So you're just – and what they did in the draft, I just thought, you know, in terms of building their team to a point where we can say, you know what, next season they're in position to contend. I think they did a good job. That's a low – and getting Otto Porter, I thought it was a good fit to what the way they play basketball. Otto Porter is a spot-up shooter, spacing. Golden State's all about spacing. That's a player who just does whatever it takes to win the basketball game rather than just trying to, you know – create or whatever. He's a guy who, if you give him a role, he'll play his role. I thought they did those type of teams. They got players that fit the identity rather than just the talent or whatever. It's an identity. Those are identity pickups, and I love those moves.
Dead air.
Okay, but I guess I'll do it. Okay, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Ampire Media. That's amppyremedia.com. See, Will, I took care of the dead air. I'll ask this question. I'll ask this question. And so, who are the losers in the who are the losers in the off season?
I'll go first. I definitely think my one of my favorite teams, the New York Knicks, are the losers, and here's why.
Yeah, kinda.
Although I like the Derrick Rose sign, and I like that you brought back Nerlens Noel, but one of the things that the Knicks have historically been bad at is acquiring young talent and kind of cultivating that young talent.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks had two first-round picks this year, and with those two first-round picks, they drafted two guys who had who some people projected to go in the lottery, which was Kai Jones from Texas and Keon Johnson from Tennessee. Those are two guys that if you had kept both of those guys on your roster and you could have kind of develop those guys, it would have potentially saved some of that cap space for you going forward when you're looking to acquire another big name player. Because we see, you know, if we look at the team like the Lakers, right? The Lakers, they acquired a bunch of young talent, and then they were ultimately able to trade that young talent for Anthony Davis. So I think the Knicks missed out on the opportunity.
Right.
I kind of put this out there already.
Go ahead.
Like I said, man, I've been out there just doing my thing this summer.
All right, bro, dude, we know you a star. We know.
I don't necessarily like what the Celtics have done. And I know somebody was saying that the Celtics got better because of the players that they lost, and namely Kemba Walker. But again, I said this. If Washington last year did not bring Scott Brooks back, which they didn't, but then they put him in the front office, we'd be scratching our heads covering his team. That's essentially what the Celtics did. I understand Brad Stevens was, I guess, a bit more successful than Scott Brooks, which maybe is an understatement, but still, it was a weird move. And then outside of Al Horford, I just can't really think of any moves that they made to make a better roster around Jason Tatum. Many believe, including myself, that Jason Tatum is on his way to being just a legit number one star who can lead a franchise to potentially Eastern Conference Championship or NBA Championship in a few more years. He's still very young.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing to get more talent around him and Jaylen Brown? Right now, I just don't see it. And listen, y'all named teams in the East that y'all thought were good earlier when we were talking about the Wizards, and the Celtics did not come up. And they have two of the best young stars in the league.
Mm.
That is a problem. If the Celtics, technically, in our minds, the three of us, who I respect our basketball knowledge, that's why I do a show with y'all dudes, is because, yo, we think that these teams are actually legit around the Boston Celtics. So what number did the Boston Celtics finish at? Are they 9? Are they 10? They're behind Washington at this point. It's crazy.
So, go ahead, Will.
Push back on that point, I technically think that Celtics team is a little bit better than the Wizards. That's just me. That's just my opinion. I think that they did do a great
I think they did do a great service for the future of that team by getting rid of Kemba Walker's contract. You know, that he was a guy who's been injured. But I'm not going to disagree with you and say that they had a bad offseason. I agree that, you know, that they made some suspect moves, some moves that you kind of like scratch your head.
No, I agree. I think they I don't know, like to Ray's point, I don't know if they did enough around their young players. Because you don't want to waste years. I think that's what Ray's talking about. You want to waste the years of, you know, Tatum and Brown together, because it's hard to keep young talent like that together anyway. So you would think they would kind of bring more around them to get them over the top, because like Ray said, they are two of the more dynamic wing players that this league has, and they're on the same team. On Twitter, my man Taj Wilson tweeted us about the winners and losers. He says the Lakers, the Wizards, and the Nets are winners, and he said the losers are the Blazers, Sixers, and Rockets. I don't even add the Rockets. The Rockets suck. I don't even know how you can call them a winner or a loser. The Rockets are just a bad team, so I don't know how you could be included.
I actually think the Rockets had a pretty good draft.
Their draft was good.
I think they had a pretty good draft, and I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see the dynamic of that team because it's so young, and they have John Wall, and you had Christian Woods, who, you know, who looked like, you know, prior to the injuries last year, he looked like he was going to be a future all-star in this league. And then you also take in a Kenyon Martin Jr. and Jalen Green and the Turkish center who they traded for at number 16. I think that kid's going to be really good. I saw some clips of him playing over in Europe. I think they're building something. I think they're building something towards the future there in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, the Houston's building something, but I don't know that. I don't want to put them in the losers bracket in terms of offseason, because they're a rebuild team. It's not like you're looking at the Rockets as somebody that you felt like they were going to contend next season. You know, I don't look at the Rockets that way. The Blazers surprised me because all this Dame talk, and you would think they were going to do some more. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing. I would think the Blazers would do a little bit more, but, you know, and everybody talks about the Sixers. I think the Sixers are fine. They don't have to do so much. Everybody's kind of up in arms about Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons will be okay. Go ahead.
They?
Huh? The Sixers?
Are they?
The Sixers, they'll be in contention. Will they get past, you know, the Eastern Conference, get to the Eastern Conference Finals or to the Finals? I don't know. They'll contend. They'll be a tough out. They'll be a high Eastern Conference seed. You know what I mean? What do the Clippers, the Sixers really need? You know what I mean? Like, what do they really need?
They need a point. They need a second guy.
A score?
A score.
They need a CJ McCollum? Like a CJ McCollum?
I'm not saying they need CJ McCollum.
No, I think CJ, I know.
I think you definitely
need. Like, give me a player in mind. I know I'm with you.
They need a guy on the wing that can create a shot for himself and others.
For others, yeah. Okay, so you need which is a hard thing to get. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, it is.
That's a hard thing. That's the thing. Like, everybody can't get that situation. So you got to see. This is the thing with Ben. It's like, and I think I was talking to Ray about it. Like, people under. You know, they look at Ben Simmons because he's not, you know, because what happened, and he totally messed up. So I'm not going to act like Ben Simmons didn't mess up last year. But you typically win with players like Ben Simmons because they do everything that you want for winning basketball. The only issue that we all have with Ben Simmons is he just doesn't shoot the ball. This thing that he doesn't shoot the ball at all. But if you look at a guy who passes to the open dude, sets up, the reason why people like Steph Curry and Kuzmas or whatever, I think it's Kuzmas or folks like that eat is because of Ben Simmons. Because Ben Simmons is looking for them. Ben Simmons is getting them shots. You know, Embiid off the double gets them shots, but it's not the same. It's not the same. Like, Ben Simmons sets all these individuals up for easy baskets. That is a trait that is not easy to replace.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, if it was, then, you know, they're, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot more teams would be more successful in the NBA.
Facts, dog. Facts. All right. So some leagues is going on. So which rookie so far in some league has impressed you during the summer play? Will T, let's go with you first, bro.
It's one name and one name only. Well, I'm not going to say one name only thus far. I'm going to give a shout out to two other guys, right, that play for Golden State. Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga, they played very well during the summer league. Then I've seen, you know, flashes on the offensive end and the defensive end. But Jalen Green, man, guy's been prime time to watch during the summer league. And I'm excited that after this show, when the show, you know, once
the Wizards play too,
recording the show, I get to see him versus Cade Cunningham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not a big Cade Cunningham fan, but that's just me. Hey, so Ray, who's impressed you, bro?
Come on, Wole. You already know who I'm rolling with, bro. Old Mariette 7, baby. He has been hooping. There's been a lot of just good games in general.
They have, man. I mean,
Yersevin has been, he's been a standout in spite of the fact that so many guys have played so well. Will T hit on all of his.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we know Jalen Green's talent, but he exceeds expectations because he's been drawing those Kobe comparisons.
Yeah.
And if he continues to work on that handle and that jump shot, that fadeaway, dude, he's going to be a problem. But Yersevin, it was fun to see him at Georgetown, but he wasn't a good defender. And right now,
he's still not a good defender.
But the numbers he's putting up in terms of points and rebounds, I think he's going to earn himself a roster spot this season in the NBA, definitely.
You know who I like watching? I was watching the other day, I think yesterday. I think we tried to – Will was like, can we get him on the show? Luka Garza. I like this game. I like what he lost a lot of weight, though. He lost a lot of weight.
He's in Detroit.
Yeah, he's in Detroit. Yeah. Detroit got a real DC squad, bro. Like, they got a real DMV squad. They got
Summer League squad. Bro,
it's a big –
Look who the GM is.
Weaver, right?
Detroit Weaver.
Yeah, that is a big – bro, he got a DMV squad for real. He got even – he went to Georgetown. They got Pickett from Georgetown. I was like, why'd you get – but he got Pickett from Georgetown. He's from D.C. I'm like, you got a real D.C. squad. Like – but you're right.
Big Bay, Killian.
Yeah.
Hayes. I mean,
yeah.
Sekou Doumbouya. That summer league squad looks real good. I think that they can turn that into something good in the next couple of years. Troy Weaver didn't want to come on Urban Sports League, no. So if he loves the Sports over there.
Oh, man. But yeah,
man. You know what's funny?
What's up,
Ray? I was about to say the same thing about Luka Garza.
Yeah, I know. I know that's right. And I was in the DMs trying to get him, Will T, bruh. I was trying to get him on the show, bruh.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, it is what it is. You know how folks are, man. But thank you all for listening. But make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeart, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. I mean iHeart Radio, excuse me. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, which is Ampire Media at AmpireMedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Ampire Media shows as well as other great content. Again, we appreciate you all for listening. Make sure you keep tuning in. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.